The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but lately you've been praying for God's blessing and protection of America, especially with all the talk of us becoming a socialist country. You see people in Venezuela, once prosperous nation, shrinking in the debris of socialism with people lined up for food. And you wonder if it'll ever happen here. After all, there's a lot of politicians talking about making it happen here. Years ago, proud socialist Bernie Sanders, said that countries where citizens line up for food are not so bad, because at least people are getting food. Those aren't the kinds of food lines they have there, Bernie. It's not waiting in line at an American Albertson store. It's nothing like that. Now, I don't mind complaining about our grocery stores. Have you ever been to a supermarket, noticed a really short line, and then came to realize only after it was too late that the line was short for a reason? The problem is the one customer in front of you that you got behind. Either a credit card which will not clear, or 75 questions from the customer to the cashier, or a price check taking forever. Finally, you realize the line is short only because all previous customers in this line left out of frustration to find other lines. The supermarket mirage. But let's face it, if that's all we have to complain about, we've got it pretty good here so far. There's a difference between being inconvenienced and rummaging through trash cans for food, which many are doing in Venezuela. Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Speaking of pop culture, in our zeal last week to talk about the Academy Awards, I failed to mention something really important, namely that one week before, we'd had a coveted national holiday, President's Day. Well, let me make up for that right now, because once a year, I do like to say something about President's Day. Let me point out that a day which used to mean something, a day which once celebrated our first great president, George Washington, has turned into a worthless holiday. Well, maybe not completely worthless, since we still get the day off, but I can think of little more than that. Are we now celebrating all presidents? Obama? Carter? How about James Buchanan? Now, there's a man to be honored, provided anyone even remembers who he was. This has become little more than a graduation day without a valedictorian, so that nobody's feelings get hurt. This is like giving every president a participation trophy. Speaking of presidents, or more correctly put, presidential candidates, something very disgraceful is already on record for Democrat senators seeking to run in 2020, or at least the ones that have signed up to run so far. Democrats in the Senate blocked a bill that would have protected the life of a baby born alive having survived a botched abortion. This is the same party which, while talking about immigration, supports the law saying anyone born in the United States is automatically a citizen with rights. And so, my friends, as you can see, we should not have needed a new law on this matter. Unfortunately, since such babies are being allowed to die in some states because it was the intent of the mother to abort, we did need such a law. But the law did not pass. This from the party which loves to lecture people about being on the right side of history. No need for further comment on how despicable the Democrats are. I have just as much loathing for Republicans who allow such barbarism even when they hold a majority. Mitch McConnell can take steps to get rid of that insane, idiotic filibuster rule, which says something can't be passed without 60 votes. Instead, he thinks ahead, worrying that such action would inspire the Democrats to do the same with filibusters in the future should they ever regain a majority. He still views the Senate as this old gentleman's club, hoping that if he plays fair, Democrats will do the same. Two things, Mitch. First of all, in case you haven't noticed, this is no longer your grandmother's Democratic Party. And not that they ever really were, in as much as they were the party of slavery, KKK, and Jim Crow laws. But yes, there used to be more civility and mutual arrangement in the Senate. Not anymore. When they regain power, they will get rid of the filibuster in a heartbeat, no matter what example you set. They will not feel they owe you a favor. If they don't have enough decency to care about infanticide, you can be sure they won't care about your Stone Age rules. Even so, Mitch, we are talking about the lives of innocent, helpless babies. Doesn't that take precedent over all this time-honored protocol? Oh boy, I'm telling you, folks, power-hungry, conscience-void Democrats in the minority with a spineless Republican majority leader. What a lethal combination recipe for the death of a once great nation. But that's not what the media focused on last week. Most of the news networks didn't even talk about that at all. Neither did they focus much on President Trump's second North Korea summit. They did talk about that one a little bit. After warning us in the past that Trump would start a war because he was standing up to this dictator, they complained last week before the meeting even happened that he was going to be too diplomatic this time and give away the store like President Clinton did. President Clinton, whom they did not complain about at the time. Instead, Trump walked away from the deal because North Korea was unwilling to remove all their nuclear weapons. So he didn't give in, which they were warning us about. Well, now the headline is that Donald Trump failed. However, as I said, none of this was the big headline anyway last week. The big headline, Michael Cohen. Yeah, Cohen, the guy already sentenced to prison for lying to Congress, was summoned back. Tell us some more. Now, just in case you were going to wonder if one who lied before might lie some more, rest assured we know he didn't tell any more lies. How do we know? Why, because Cohen told us that himself. That's how. He said, and I quote, "I lied, but I am not a liar." Now look, had he been referring to one or two lies in his life or several, that would not be an unusual statement for anybody to make. But of course, this was in reference to a multiplicity of lies in his past. Nevertheless, despite these lies and despite the fact that he was caught lying again in the hearing, not long after he explained all this, we're supposed to accept this narrative. I lied, but I'm not a liar. Sure, makes sense to me. Here are some other suggestions to see that his logic actually does compare to other obvious conclusions. I take clients in need of legal help, but I am not a lawyer. I've betrayed clients, but I am not a Judas. I record clients without their consent, but I am not a tape recorder. I live in America, but I am not an American. I eat meat, but I am not a meat eater. I breathe air, but I am not a breather. I'm full of slime, but I am not a slime ball. I'm going to prison, but I won't be a prisoner. I'm being used by the Democrats as a distraction for President Trump's summit with North Korea, but I am not a circus sideshow. Look, I actually do feel sorry for Cohen and his family and what they've been through and the way they're being used, but he still needs to be called out. The primary interest in calling Cohen in to testify again before Congress was to see, for the 97th time, if Trump colluded with the Russians to win the election. But during part of his testimony, Cohen said Trump wasn't really expecting to win. I'm not saying that's true or not true. I'm just saying that's what Cohen said. He viewed it as just a big infomercial. He was just trying to expand his brand. He was not expecting to win. Well, if that's the case, then why exactly would he have worked with the Russians to obtain something he really didn't expect to happen anyway? Of course, during another moment of the testimony, Cohen said that Trump did want to win. He would want to win at any cost. He wasn't expecting to win, but he would want to win at any cost. All right, now if this seems like a contradiction, once again, remember, Cohen had already been sentenced for lying to Congress the last time. Is it any wonder that during his latest interview, he said two more things which cannot both be true at the same time? In any event, he also said he had no evidence of Russian collusion, but then again, the man lies, so who knows? Well, I do not accept the collusion narrative myself. It's certainly no stretch to say that Cohen would not be the best source to refute it. All we really know is that this was not the big fish Democrats were hoping for. Nevertheless, they'll act like it was the big fish. They will hang something on their trophy case from other solicitous details of Trump's life, courtesy of attorney-client privilege. Now, along with some 70 other things, the Democrats are going after Donald Trump's back taxes again. Folks, supposing he did find some legal loophole to avoid paying taxes to a country that was founded upon the idea of being free from King George and his outlandish taxation, wouldn't the fact that the man has taken no salary as president for the past 2 years square things with his personal obligation toward the necessary funding of our federal government? Of course not. Nothing he does will satisfy the Dems or the Rhino Republicans. What will be next? I'm waiting to hear about how he refused to share his shovel in a sandbox when he was 6 years old. Of course, Democrats are less interested in Trump's back taxes and everyone else's future taxes. According to the brilliant wisdom and well thought through math of Democrat Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who has this party scared to death of her and eating out of her hand, our planet should get rid of all cars, all planes, and all cows. Yeah, cows. It would also be better if a lot of people chose not to have babies anymore. Also, every single building in America, private or commercial, will be refitted by the government. Oh, happy days are here again. You like smog inspections? This will be a smog inspection on steroids. Meanwhile, there will be free college, free health care, a lot of free stuff. Housing is a guaranteed right from the government. How will we pay for all these free things? Oh, well, yeah, sure, if you're going to bring that up. Actually, it will happen simply by taxing the snot out of people who work in order to pay for people who don't work. And when told that this would cost some $93 trillion, when told that even if the rich were taxed 100%, she's talking about 70, 75, but even if they were taxed 100%, we still couldn't pay for this. Not to mention the fact that after taxing the rich 100%, sooner or later, there will be no more rich to tax. Alexandria balks about how she at least came up with an idea. And then she says that until someone comes up with a better idea, I'm the boss. You want to come up with a better idea? Fine. Until you do, I'm the boss. Oh. Okay, Miss Cortez. Anything else?
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions at bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development, that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
back to 96.1 FM, 1170 AM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Doesn't our new Socialist Party, otherwise known as the Ocasio-Cortez Democrats, realize that a parasite has to leave the host alive, otherwise it too dies? And yes, you did hear me correctly before the break. Part of the new Green Deal is to ban cows. Cows. Why? Well, because the emissions coming out of a cow's posterior, see how careful I'm being since I'm on the radio, that natural mammal-based gas, we'll call it, contributes to global warming. To put it more delicately, we're talking about a word that starts with an F and ends with a T. Now, I just have to wonder why all this attention is focused upon cow gas. After all, so many of our freshman Democrat Congress have been creating a very similar gas, talking out of their own behinds. But it's not just the freshmen. Most of the Democrat candidates have climbed on board, including Bernie, not the dead Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's. Bernie Sanders, yes, Bernie Sanders did finally announce his candidacy for president after flirting with it for a long time. Given a choice, I would vote for the dead Weekend Bernie before Bernie Sanders. I would vote for a piece of seaweed washed upon our San Diego shores before voting for Bernie. Or if I instead took the seaweed home as food, I'd have more to eat than a citizen of the socialist utopia called Venezuela, a country that put so many of Bernie's brilliant ideas into practice. By the way, Bernie Sanders owns 3 homes and is worth millions, has lately been making $1 million annually. Hey, Bernie, before jamming the virtues of socialism and wealth redistribution down our throats, why don't you take advantage of your options as a taxpayer? This is already in our law. You are allowed to pay as much income tax as you wish. You don't have to wait for the tax laws to change. Or you can donate your entire salary as President Trump does. You know, President Trump, the guy you're always ragging on. What do you say, Bernie? Take one for the team. Time to put something a little extra into the kitty, Bernie. After all, you're very generous with everyone else's money. Yes, Bernie lives as a millionaire while preaching wealth redistribution, and Bernie cries about the environment while flying over the world in his private jet. Good one, Bernie. Look, Bernie, I don't care if you have a private jet. I don't care if you own 500 homes. I don't care if you're a multi-billionaire. Just admit that you live like a capitalist while you're trying to turn the rest of us into socialists. You can live any way you want. Just quit busting our chops, will ya? On to other environmental news, and you're going to love this one. Ohio voters have given people the right to sue on behalf of Lake Erie. This is for the purpose of stopping pollution. After all, the poor lake can't speak for itself, so the lake needs an attorney. This new law is being hailed as follows, and I'm actually quoting from the news media in Ohio. It's an actual quote. Lake Erie now has the rights of a human being. Oh, how interesting to see such legislation on the heels of last week's Senate vote where the life of a born baby is no longer protected if the mother had intended a late-term abortion. Yes, sir, Lake Erie has the rights of a human being. But guess who no longer has the rights of a human being? Human beings! But Democrats march on proclaiming human rights, especially where race is concerned. Democratic House freshman Rashida Tlaib accused Congressman Mark Meadows of racism because he brought Trump associate Lynn Patton, an African-American woman, to the hearings to rebut Michael Cohen's claim that Trump is a racist. Here's what she said, I'm quoting, "Just because somebody has a person of color, a black person working for them, does not mean they aren't racist. And it is insensitive that some would even say the fact that someone would actually use a prop, a black woman in this chamber, in this committee, is alone racist in itself." To which Meadows responded, you're going to love this, "My nieces and nephews are people of color. Not many people know that. You know that, Mr. Chairman," he said, looking over at Elijah Cummings. "And to indicate that I asked someone who is a personal friend of the Trump family, who has worked for him, who knows this particular individual," motioning to Cohen, "that she's coming in to be a prop, it's racist to suggest that I asked her to come in here for that reason. His statement was immediately backed up by the Democrat chairman of the committee, again, Elijah Cummings, who also called Meadows a close personal friend. I don't care much for Elijah Cummings, but this was pretty classy of him. At this point, Cummings said to Tlaib, "I want to make sure I understand. You are not intending to call Mr. Meadows a racist. Is that right?" She replied, "No, Mr. Chairman. I did not call Mr. Meadows a racist. I am trying as a person of color just to express myself and how I felt at that moment. And so just for the record, that was my intention." Oh, of course. It's all so clear now. She wasn't calling him a racist. She was just expressing how she feels, and she feels he's a racist. I feel he's a racist. But I didn't call him a racist. Now, I know, they hugged afterwards. Whoop-de-frickin-do. I also know her words speak for themselves, as do other comments on other subjects. She does not believe Israel has a right to exist. She openly calls for the elimination of Israel. Now, elimination, exactly how would that happen? Well, if the United Nations, which voted that Israel had a right to exist back in the 40s, if they voted again and said Israel cannot be a sovereign nation, well, Israel is a sovereign nation. They're not going anywhere. Why do you think they're going to go, "Oh, well, okay, jumpin' Jiminy, we'll stop being a nation"? No. What she's saying equates the ceasing of Israel as a nation to the military conquest of Israel or the complete annihilation of Israel, something most of Israel's enemies call for. Meanwhile, a very lengthy expose published in November in a Middle East newspaper voiced concern about her pro-Muslim Brotherhood policies and pro-Islamists. I didn't say Islam. An Islamist is a Muslim terrorist. Muslim Brotherhood was one of the very first terrorist organizations. I would call this woman a racist and an anti-Semite. I would say that Tlaib, with some racism of her own, should not be lecturing the rest of us about race. Of course, we're supposed to ignore all this and instead embrace the narrative that Donald Trump is a racist, and we'll talk about that narrative when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Well, Well, as you know, the media was very quick to accept the claims of that two Trump supporters had attacked the actor Jussie Smollett. Apparently, that was a hoax, and he seemed to know that it was a hoax that the media would support him on because it fit their narrative. Now, mark my words, when this whole Jussie Smollett thing is over, the media will still find a way to blame Trump. Should they prove Smollett a down-faced liar, and the evidence is pretty overwhelming. I'm a real believer that somebody's innocent until proven guilty, so I do want to be fair, but the evidence is overwhelming. Should this actually be proven, and we're about 99% there, we will hear that he had his reasons for bringing attention to racism due to the toxic atmosphere created by Trump. We'll probably also hear about what a horrible childhood he had, how his mother never bought him a sled, and how for the last few years, Donald Trump triggered so many other horrible memories. Of course, part of the narrative that Trump is a racist stems from his desire to protect our borders. So let me see if I'm understanding our well-thought-out immigration laws taken to their logical conclusion. Someone can storm our borders as a part of a caravan mob, waving a flag from another country, even spitting or throwing rocks at border agents. But should this very same person manage to get through and get arrested, all he has to do is shout out the word asylum, and we have to exploit our court system to process him as a potential prosecuted refugee entitled to American soil. Even if his case is now weak because of the manner in which he came through, even if he may now more than likely be denied asylum by a future judge, we have to process him anyway, despite the fact that many never arrive for their court dates and just lose themselves in our sanctuary cities which protect them. Truth can be stranger than fiction. But here is the law as quoted in the Immigration and Nationality Act. Any alien who is physically present in the United States or who arrives in the United States, whether or not at a designated point of arrival, irrespective of such alien status, may apply for asylum. Get that? Whether or not it's at a port of arrival. Now, I played this game as a kid. It was called hide and seek. If you could make it to the base, you cried ollie ollie oxen free and you were safe. Now, I don't mean to be so insulting as to compare our government to children's games, and in that vein, I apologize to children everywhere. At least those games had some consequences. When you were tagged, you were it. Yes, protecting our country seems less important to Democrats than winning in 2020. Joe Biden, apparently warming up for his own personal presidential bid, says that America is currently an embarrassment. A country that used to care about basic human dignity. He did not use as examples his party's endorsement of late-term abortion and infanticide. I don't think it's too much of a stretch to suggest that such practices are somewhat depleted of human dignity. Neither did he mention the enabling of Iran under the watch of our Obama-Biden administration. Yes, Iran, a country which chants death to Israel and death to America. Oh, yeah, and he gave his speech overseas in Germany, signaling disunity in our nation. The embarrassment, Mr. Biden, void of dignity, is you. Now, I should say for about 5 minutes last week, Joe did do something classy. It was bound to happen sooner or later. You know the old saying, give a monkey a typewriter, sooner or later he types a word. Yeah, Joe Biden finally did something classy. He called Vice President Pence a decent man. But oh, he got rebuked so fast from leftist actress Cynthia Nixon, the woman from Sex and the City, and he walked the comment back ASAP. Yes, sir. That's the kind of backbone we want to see from a leader in this great nation. Well, if you would like to weigh in on any of this, you can, of course, reach me on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net. Elaine commenting on last week's show where we critiqued movies. She says, I wish Bob had time to do a daily show. Well, thank you, Elaine. Of course, last week's show was a fun theme, unlike today. While discussing politics is important, it's certainly not fun. Regarding our Senate refusing to stop infanticide, Robbie says, tell it. The truth does not change just for someone's convenience. Joy says, sick. Bill says, once again, Bob, you're absolutely correct. Although I had heard that the new law in New York was going to affect all babies born in New York so that any new mother could have the doctor murder their newborn child, perhaps I am mistaken and the New York law was just for botched abortion babies. Well, there were two. The one in New York passed, Bill, and that one was for technically what they were calling an abortion, but it could be all the way up to the end, way late in the trimester. And if there was a botched up process and the baby was delivered, they could allow it to die. But there was another bill that did not pass Virginia, but almost passed. It was still being defended by the governor of Virginia. And in this one, the baby could actually be delivered. And then he said, oh, and we'll keep it comfortable. And then the mother will make a decision. But if it was her intention to abort the baby, we'll go ahead and put the baby to death. So very, very similar. I know that it's a fine line looking at the difference between them. Anyway, the Virginia one did not pass. But what our Senate was trying to do was make it so that no states could do that kind of thing anyway. So just to clarify that, Bill continues, either way, when a new mother can tell her doctor to murder the newborn baby, I totally agree that the new law is infanticide. What about what the infant's father has to say about the newborn child? Are his wishes to be totally ignored? You know, that's a very interesting response. People are always saying a woman has a right to decide whether she wants to be a mother. Well, does a man have a right to decide whether or not he wants to be a father? I'll tell you this, if the man decides that he wants to have a choice too and he doesn't want to be a father, and the woman has the baby anyway, she says, it's just as much your baby as mine. If he tries to deny that it's not really his, it was from your body, it's your choice, she can slap a palimony suit on him. So once the baby's born, it's something that belongs to both of them. While the baby's in the womb, it's only her. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense in the bizarro world. Bill continues, as for a newborn who was born in this country, I believe that they can be elected president, unlike some reports of the last president not being a natural born citizen. Just a thought, the sins of the mother should not be transferred to the children who are born here. Deport the illegal parents, but allow the children who are born here the right to return to this country when they return 18 years old so that they can claim their birthrights without their illegal mothers. Let the mother and or father come to this country through the legal procedures that are already in place. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. For a church that will not only challenge you, but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not in fact get any free trip to Bermuda. But you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear. But they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back.
Skyline Church. Sunday morning services, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m.
We'll be right back.
back to our program. I've been reading through some of your comments about my monologue that I gave in the first part of the show, and of course, its companion version over the internet. Regarding my commentary about Michael Cohen and the sport I was making of his statement, "I lied, but I am not a liar." Tim says, "I guess that makes all of us liars." Okay, Tim, I realize that no human being can say he never lied. That's obvious. That is not the same as bearing false witness and incriminating other people. That is not the same as going out of your way to say just exactly what the mainstream media wants to hear, even to the point of parroting their often disproven narrative that Trump is a racist, a narrative disproven once again right in the middle of the hearings by Trump associate Lynn Patton, an African-American woman brought into the hearings by Representative Mark Meadows, even though that was really unnecessary. I mean, there's Diamond and Silk. We could just go on and on and on about African-Americans that absolutely love this guy, about how some of the lowest unemployment about African-Americans we've had in anyone else's presidency lately. Anyway, there's also such a thing as assessing the amount of lies which characterize a person's life. And finally, as I already mentioned, he was caught lying again, not only with statements that contradicted themselves right in the middle of the hearing, but his claim that he was never interested in working at the White House. You can watch him on a split screen now saying that he was never interested in working at the White House while he's doing the CNN interview where he said he did want to be considered for the White House, and he said it very enthusiastically. Now, look, I don't care if he wanted to work in the White House. He's entitled to do whatever he wants, but he shouldn't be lying about it. And I do believe one can repent or reform from anything, including lying. It's just that there's no evidence that such a reform took place this time. Fran says, "Tired of it all. So tired, but God says not to be weary." Christine says, "Yep, he completely contradicted himself. On one hand, Trump used campaign as infomercial. On the other hand, Trump would have done anything to win." Concerning the Green Deal of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Cassie says, "Exactly. As soon as she is willing to pay for it by donating 100% of her income as a Congress representative," Art says, "insanity becomes her." James says, "AOC is a loon." Bill says, "I've been following AOC as she is being referred to by the press." Oh, he does it differently. OCA, he says. Not sure what he's trying to make out of that. Anyway, as she is being referred to by the press and everything that she has told all of the press, apparently she wants to become the new face of the Democrats, replacing Nancy. I don't think she will, however, be joining the leadership of the progressives, as she was just elected by some accounts because she's a Latina, replacing a sitting congressman who had held the office for several decades. I believe that she's going to get her hopes dashed by the sitting progressives that have been in Congress for way too long, as demonstrated by Nancy and Diane. I pray that both of these women, notice I did not refer to them as ladies, as they both have forgotten who and why they were elected, who were elected to represent the people of California. They both have gone to the dark side of Congress, only doing the bidding of the progressives who have just, and by the way, when Bill says the dark side, he meant dark side like in Star Wars, the evil side of the Force. He wasn't making a comment about people of color, so let's not have anybody write in and complain about Bill. Anyway, only doing the bidding of the progressives, he says, who have just recently passed laws in New York allowing babies to be murdered after surviving an abortion. Could it be that God had plans for these children, allowing them to actually live through the abortive tactics requested by the soon-to-be mother of said newborn? We'll never know. What we do know is that the progressives must be removed from office as soon as possible to safeguard the unborn children throughout our country. OCA won't be able to get a foothold anytime soon. Boy, I wish I had your faith, Bill. There's an awful lot of stupid people in this country that just are eating her up with a spoon. Anyway, but perhaps she is repaying the deal she made with the progressives that she surely had the help of to get elected a short while. All of what she's trying to do is bring a socialist government to our republic. Well, she's quite honest about that. You know, it's funny because years ago when Obama was elected, Obama was a socialist. I mean, much more than he was a capitalist. And when people called Obama a socialist, we were accused of insulting them. Even conservative radio talk show host Michael Medved, somebody I admire, was telling conservatives, don't call Obama a socialist. because you sound like an idiot when you say it. Then in our last election, Bernie Sanders, without any apology, unashamedly bragged about being a socialist, and people accepted. Now it's everything. Now it's going to be hard to find a Democrat who will one that won't embrace socialism. Anyway, moving on, concerning Lake Erie having more rights than human babies, Cheryl says, national insanity seemed so hypothetical and unreal back in the day when we warned, if America doesn't turn to God, then I never imagined America could truly lose its mind. Well, there's an old saying, Cheryl, when a person stops believing in God, he'll start believing in anything. Bill says, I also find it very interesting that Lake Erie has been given more rights than an unborn child. This is just another act passed by the progressives that gives rights to something instead of protecting the unborn children of its citizens. What are they doing except passing laws to protect a lake instead of protecting the lives of the unborn children? The only way to protect our next generation is to remove all of the progressives from office. Hear, hear, Bill. I sure hope it happens. Steve says, wow, people out of control. Lord, come quickly. Regarding Jussie Smollett, Art says in his agreement with my assessment that the media will probably support him no matter what. And he summarizes what he thinks the media will be saying. Even if it's not true, it should be. Now, I got to tell you, I said that in my monologue today, but it was over a week ago on Facebook that I wrote that as a prediction. And actually, the prediction has already started happening. Just a couple of days ago, the Hollywood Reporter started talking about the stress of being a celebrity like Smollett. You just don't know the kind of stress that a celebrity goes through. Yeah, us people that are so lucky to not be celebrities, we just can't imagine what these poor guys go through. Tim says, Smollett did a terrible thing. His lies will hurt those claiming legitimate crimes, let alone the time and energy his case took from other matters. Lies that use up valuable public resources ought to be prosecuted, and I hope he's brought to justice. I'm with you, Tim. Regarding the logical conclusion of our immigration laws, David says, our politicians have lost sight of God. They have lost sight of the reason we became a nation. They trample on our values and traditions. They brag about how they are doing what's best for us while lining their pockets with riches. We don't need progressivism. We need oath keepers and moral leaders. Bob Siegel. I've been on the radio for many years, but let me tell you about a voice I've learned to appreciate far more than any radio announcers, Fred Falduti of Realty Executives All Area. Now, why do I care so much about Fred's voice? Because not long ago, Fred's voice spoke the following words to me.
Bob, I have some good news for you. They accepted your offer.
That's right. Fred Falduti just sold my house. With words like those, who needs radio? Folks, I'm telling you, choosing the right realtor is no small task. Fred took a personal interest in my situation, treating me less like a customer and more like a member of the family. And Fred's been doing this since 1994. Realty Executives All Area has sold thousands of homes locally.
Our footprints are throughout San Diego County, and we are proud of our accomplishments of assisting home sellers and buyers like you. Over the years, we've managed hundreds of real estate transactions and have encountered just about every kind of challenging situation possible.
That's it, folks. That's the voice that will sell your home. Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area. 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com. We radio hosts love to talk, but let's face it, when have we ever sold your home? Fred Falduti will.
You've already heard some of the wonderful customer reviews of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament, but now listen to some highlights from a professional review by Lisa Ruth of Communities Digital News. The book is literally a page-turner that will delight children and adults alike. Readers will find a piece of themselves in Mike, whom Siegel portrays perfectly. He develops the 12-year-old deftly and makes him real to the readers. They will adore Aunt Lorene. They will remember their first love and the pain of betrayal from a friend. Caligula the cat is a wonderfully clever addition to the story. He steals the book with his caustic insight, making all readers wonder just what their own pets would say if they could talk. The real gift of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament is the lessons it weaves amid the adventure. It reminds us of the social and personal responsibility we share and the repercussions of our actions on those around us. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has adventure, entertainment, and some extremely important lessons. What more could you ask for in a book?
This is Bob Siegel back with you with one more segment. Always happy to spend this hour with you once a week. Concerning my comparison of President's Day to giving every president a participation trophy, Tim says, now that line is pretty darn funny. A couple of weeks ago, I did an entire program on the whole idea of Jewish people becoming Christians. I mentioned that I'm a Jewish Christian. I read some comments from fellow Jews who tried to deny that you could be a Jew and a Christian at the same time. I mentioned that Jesus was Jewish, his disciples were Jewish, the original church was originally so Jewish that if a Gentile wanted to become a Christian, they'd get together and argue about whether the guy had to convert to Judaism before he could convert to Christianity. I mentioned that Christ merely means Messiah. It's a transliteration of a Greek word Christos from the Hebrew word Mashiach, Messiah. But one of the reasons Jewish people have trouble not accepting Jesus as the Messiah is because they were not expecting him to die on the cross. Well, I did read from many ancient rabbinical commentaries of the time that would have been popular in Jesus' day, saying that the Messiah was supposed to die for Israel's sin before coming as a king and a warrior and then rise from the dead. Of course, they were kind of looking forward to that king and warrior part of the Messiah, not the death on the cross Messiah. And who can blame them? They were living under the Romans. If I was living under the Romans, I'd want my Messiah to be a new king and warrior too. However, had they accepted Jesus despite his crucifixion and, of course, resurrection, then he would have stayed and he would have set up his kingdom. Then they rejected him, so he came away and he's returning. Anyway, that's one of the Jewish hang-ups with Jesus. If he was the Messiah, he would have delivered Israel. He would have brought peace to the earth. Their other hang-up, and perhaps a much bigger one, is Jesus' claim to deity, that he was God incarnate. And then it gets even a little more difficult because if we read the New Testament, and frankly, the Old Testament, I did a show once where I showed that this is all over the Old Testament. If you missed those shows, you can go to my website and hear them. I have article versions of them. You can download those. No cost for any of this stuff on my website. We're not trying to get your money. But anyway, in the Trinity, we're taught that God is three yet one. And people say, well, that's impossible. That's impossible. How can God be three yet one? Okay, look, there's an excellent book written by a scientist, a physicist named Hugh Ross. It's called The Creator and the Cosmos. Now, Hugh Ross, starting as a scientist, was very skeptical about religion, but he looked at many different religions to see their explanation for the origin of life, to see which one matched up the best with what actually happened. And he came to the conclusion that the Bible matched up the best. And in talking about the Trinity, he raises the question, and he wasn't claiming he was explaining anything, but he was just to show you that this is not as implausible as people suggest. He raised the question of God existing in more than one dimension at a time. They're theorizing over 16 different dimensions now in physics. So he puts out this idea that God could exist in more than one dimension at a time, suggests that that might be the secret behind the Trinity. There's another possibility that I'd like to suggest, a completely different area of science, genetics. Look at the studies they've done with identical twins, or identical triplets, if you want to sound more Trinitarian. But they've done studies on twins that were separated at birth who later on found themselves as adults and discovered that they'd made very similar choices in life. I've seen some of these people on TV talking. Choices regards to marriage, job, even the names they gave to pets. Two such men came on a television program years ago. They had each named their dog Toy. Okay, now look, if they'd named the dog Spot or Rover, we'd say, okay, that's not much of a stretch. But Toy, that's a very unusual name. Identical twins and identical triplets are a fascinating concept to behold. Once one cell, this cell splits into three cells, each with an identical 23 pairs of chromosomes. They are the same person. And yet, obviously, they're not the same person. They're three different people. Now, please understand, I'm not claiming to explain the Trinity either through genetics or through other dimensions. Once again, and I said this last time we were on the subject, I'm very comfortable that God knows some things we don't know. All I'm saying is that the concept of being multiple yet one is not unknown in nature. It is true that Jesus is one member of a co-equal Trinity, but this mystery does not dilute his divine identity. The other two members retained their position while Jesus walked the earth. He lived in obedience to the Father, and he performed miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. There was one time where Jesus cast a demon out of somebody and healed the person of a physical infirmity. And everybody was always saying, if you're really the Messiah, give us a sign, give us a sign, do a miracle. So he did a miracle. Well, you'd think the people would accept it. Well, a lot of the people did. It was the religious rulers that didn't accept it. Try to imagine somebody coming into your church and saying, don't listen to your pastor. Or maybe listen to what he says, but don't follow what he does. Yeah, your pastor would probably not be quick to say, boy, this man's a prophet. He speaks from God. Jesus was calling the religious rulers of his day whitewashed tombs with dead bones inside. He was calling them hypocrites. So of course they didn't want to believe he was the Messiah. If he was saying, follow your rabbis, follow your leaders, they go, hey, you know, this Jesus, he's not a bad guy. So when he finally did the miracle they asked him to do, they didn't want to believe he did it, but they couldn't get around it. How did they explain the miracle? Well, in those days, if you didn't like somebody, but you couldn't deny the fact that he had done something miraculous or supernatural, you just said, oh, he didn't do that by the power of God. He did that by the power of Satan. Did you know that to this day, you can go to the Jewish Talmud and they'll acknowledge that Jesus lived and was executed on the charge of heresy and sorcery. Now, heresy, because he claimed to be God. For a Jew to claim to be God is heresy, unless he's telling the truth, and he actually is God, but they didn't believe he was. So that's understandable. But I find it interesting that they called him a sorcerer, because they're admitting, here's a non-Christian source, a source hostile to Christianity, yet it admits that Jesus did miracles. You may not like the fact that it's painting an unflattering picture of Jesus if you're a Christian, but as a historian, that's pretty fantastic news. That's a great piece of evidence. But anyway, my point is that when this miracle took place and they said, oh, you did that by the power of Satan, Jesus said, you didn't just blaspheme me, you blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Because even though Jesus had been the second person of the Trinity, when he became a man, he gave up all the power he had as God and lived like us, in dependence on the Holy Spirit, in dependence on the Father. He's saying, I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I wouldn't be willing to do myself. I will see you next week.
The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
KCBQ, San Diego, K241CT, Oceanside, FM 96.1, North County, and AM 1170, San Diego. The Answer.